Hello, everyone, and welcome to So 5 Minutes Ago, the podcast where we look at the 80s teen movies that make us want to disobey our dads and dance out our teen rage. We're your hosts, Kate.
And Shannon.
Oh, I can't believe we're at our season one finale. Holy moly.
Wow, oh we gosh. Did it.
I know, we really did. We really did. This has been so much fun. And I feel like we barely made a dent in the catalog of 80s teen movies. There Absolutely. Are so many to talk about.
I know. Oh, I can't believe how many we left out.
I know. Well, you know, we're only human.
Yeah.
And also, thanks again to our listeners for listening to our podcast. We've been having so much fun discussing all the minutia of these movies with you on Instagram. It's like... Mm-hmm. As we said in our last episode, if you want to hear more from us, please feel free to spread the word about this podcast, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because both those things help us out a lot. But yeah, I'm just having so much fun seeing everybody's comments and like...
I know.
Seeing that other people care about the details that we care about is what makes this fun.
Yeah, the Molly Ringwald prom dress Instagram discussions were great.
Yeah. Yeah, and just the things that I think, like, no one else is going to care about this, and then people are passionately, like, talking about it. That's why we're here. So much fun. Okay, now, are we ready to close out the season with a successful overhead lift?
Yes!
Let's talk about Dirty Dancing!
Do it.
All right. Up top, of course, some behind-the-scenes trivia. All right, they only had 2 weeks of rehearsals for this movie, which is absolutely insane for the amount of dancing that takes place. Crazy. And the movie was filmed over 44 days. But like 2 weeks of rehearsals to learn all those routines? Yeah.
I know. For Jennifer Grey, right? Because she didn't come in with a dance background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
The exterior shots were filmed at the Mountain Lake Lodge in Pembroke, Virginia. They could only afford to film at this location for 14 days, so then production was moved to a boys' camp in North Carolina for all the interior shots.
Oh, maybe that's why Swayze's bungalow looks like the saddest hermit's cabin ever.
Yeah, because it's used to being occupied by just, like, dirty preteen boys, so they're not going to clean it.
Yeah, and they just threw, like, a bed frame and a deck chair in there. Yeah. That was it.
They're like, good enough. Weather was a serious issue during filming. It poured rain and then sweltered at 105 degrees, like swung both ways. And then at one point it was 120 degrees indoors. And while filming one of the group dance scenes, 10 different people passed out within a span of 25 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, man. Val Kilmer was offered the role of Johnny Castle, but turned it down.
Hmm.
Billy Zane also auditioned.
Weird.
I know. He wasn't a good enough dancer. That's why he didn't get the part. Actresses considered for the role of Baby included Sarah Jessica Parker, Sharon Stone, Pia Zadora.
That's weird.
I know. And then in top consideration was Mindy Cohn, better known as Natalie from The Facts of Life.
Those are all bizarre choices except for Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah. Sharon Stone.
Like,
crazy. Oh. Patrick Swayze comes from a dance background, and so he did all of his own dancing and stunts. And he also wore a girdle throughout the entire movie to look thinner and younger. And like, if I wore a girdle doing that level of dancing, I would barf. So kudos to Peaceways, because I couldn't pull that off.
I know. Crazy.
So the movie soundtrack, which is famous, spent 18 weeks at number one on the Billboard charts. Damn. It had 1 million copies on back order before the first single was even released.
Wow.
I know. And it went platinum 11 times and sold over 32 million copies worldwide.
That's really insane.
I know.
Especially knowing the state of music, the music industry today. This is incomprehensible to me, these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, back then, that was a time when physical music was so highly valued. Because how else were you going to hear, like, the Ronettes and the Five Satins if you were, like, a 16-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Unless your parents had a record collection. So I totally get, you know, why people were hearing this music for the first time. And the only way that you were going to get it is if you bought that soundtrack.
Yeah. And it's like, how we, meaning mostly you, me, and your husband always talk about how there was this weird like 1950s resurgence in the 80s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was a product of this or if this was just in line with like the zeitgeist of what was happening at the time. Mm. But yeah, there was like a real big, you know, like
yeah.
the 50s culture became really popular in the 80s. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so many records sold. That's crazy.
So many.
This movie is based loosely on the writer Ellen Bernstein's life. She also vacationed in the Catskills in the 1960s as a teenager. Her dad was also a doctor. She was also nicknamed Baby and was good at Dirty Dancing. So that's fun to know. Mm-hmm. All right. And with that, let's talk about Dirty Dancing. All right. So we open with a title sequence shot in black and white and showing people doing some slow-mo Dirty Dancing to Be My Baby by the Ronettes. All the credits are in the most beautiful typeface, the perfect color pink. It is some true 80s splendor, and it really sets us up for a good time. Like watching this opening title sequence, I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know. It brings back so much nostalgia for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Also, this movie was choreographed by our old friend Kenny Ortega. Hey, Kenny.
Hey girl.
All right. Then an old sedan is speeding down a Catskills, New York highway. Mom and Dad are in the front seat, played by Kelly Bishop and Jelly Orbach. I like that better. Orbach. In the back, we see a young woman primping and looking at herself in a mirror, and then a teenish girl reading a book. The younger girl is Jennifer Grey, and she gives us this voiceover.
That was the summer of 1963, when everybody called me Baby, and it didn't occur to me to mind. That was before President Kennedy was shot, before the Beatles came, when I couldn't wait to join the Peace Corps, and I thought I'd never find a guy as great as my dad.
Aw. Yeah. This is the only voiceover of the whole movie, and I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
I guess because, you know, I'm watching now from a pickier point of view, but I never noticed that. It's a strange choice to have her only do it in the very beginning, but I don't know. I guess it reinforces that we'll be getting the story from Baby's point of view.
Yeah, I had the exact same reaction when I wrote it down to pull the sound clip. I was like, oh yeah, this is the only voiceover in the movie. And I had the exact same thought. I'm like, okay, I guess this is just to establish that we're seeing it, that it's a coming of age tale from her point of view.
Right.
But yeah, no other time in the movie.
I mean, we get a lot of exposition about like, we get the whole frame of the state of the United States, too.
Yeah.
So
yes, that's true.
It makes sense.
That's true. Okay, so the Hausman family is headed to Kellerman's, a mountain resort, which is sort of looks like a summer camp for upper crust families. I can't decide if I like this idea or not. Like, it kind of seems like a cruise without the nightmare of being on a ship. And seems like it could be fun, but then also I hate the idea of forced group fun. So I don't know.
I love the kitsch factor of it, the bungalows and the lake and the clubhouse, but I hate the idea of having to eat every meal with strangers.
Yeah, at like an established time. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a fun setting if you're a teen because there's like all kinds of things to do. But also, I went to Disney World as a teen and got into a physical altercation with a cast member who tried to make me join a conga line. So maybe this would not be the place for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so everyone seems to be arriving at Kellerman's on the same day at the same time. Bigger sister Lisa is whining that she should have brought more shoes when she sees everybody unloading dresses and shoe boxes. And as much as I love 1960s style and fashion, this makes me so thankful to live in an era where I don't have to bring a rack's worth of dresses and a trunk full of high heels to go on vacation.
Seriously? Dresses or shoes to match every dress? What pain.
Multiple times a day? No. Also, if you've ever wondered why Baby's mom is suddenly blonde as they pull up to Kellerman's, it's because the part was originally played by another actress named Lynn Lipton, who had to leave filming early on because she became ill.
I've probably seen this movie 50 times, and I've never, ever noticed that.
Me neither.
So good catch.
Yeah, I was reading about it, and I actually went back and looked, and I was like, oh yeah, you can totally see it looks like a woman in a big blonde bubble wig.
The back of her head.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And holy moly, everyone, if there's anything Kellerman's is about, it is activities. Wayne Knight is screaming off a list of them through a bullhorn. There are already people on the lawn painting and dancing and playing badminton. Max Kellerman himself approaches Dr. Baby's dad and welcomes him and tells the family that there's a merengue class about to start in the gazebo. Activities! Max Kellerman is accompanied by a young man in a gorgeous members-only jacket and a pompadour. Baby helps him get bags out of the trunk, and they share a look. Next, we see Baby and her family at this merengue class, aka my personal hell. Everyone is shoulder to shoulder, stepping on each other's feet and struggling to keep up with the instructor, who is like a cute blonde in this adorable red swing dress. Mm-hmm. She's a former Rockette, and she is bursting with charisma, just the perfect dance instructor. They form a conga line, hate it, and then Baby ends up dancing with a tiny old lady.
Yeah, why are they dancing so close? Right? They're literally on top of each other.
I know. Like, it's, you see all their feet, like, stepping on each other's, and then it pans up, and they're literally shoulder to shoulder, and it's not
and
like
there's
this,
plenty of room in the gazebo.
Plenty of room in the gazebo. And then when they conga line, it's, like, such a tight spiral, and they're, like, hitting each other, and it's just, like, spread out, guys. Spread out. Okay, so that evening, Baby heads out to explore the sprawling resort grounds in an outfit that's really cute and perfect for a summer evening. Mm-hmm. It's like a striped blue, pink, and white dress that fits her really well. It's fitted on the top and sort of like a gathered skirt on the bottom. Long, powder blue, cozy-looking cardigan and pink flats. Super cute. Mm-hmm. She heads over to the main house and spies on a meeting between Max Kellerman and the male wait staff, in which he delivers these really inspiring instructions.
There are two kinds of help here. You waiters are all college guys, and I went to Harvard and Yale to hire you. And why did I do that? Why? I shouldn't have to remind you, this is a family place. That means you keep your fingers out of the water, your hair out of the soup, and show the goddamn daughters a good time. All the daughters. Even the dogs.
Yeah, he says that last line while staring directly at Baby. Cool. Cool. Oh, and then hold on to your butts, because in walks in a tall, hunky dude with a greased pompadour, sunglasses, and a leather jacket slung over his shoulder. He's followed by a bunch of guys that make up the entertainment staff. Max tells them to dance with the ladies, but that's it. No conversation and no hanky-panky. We learn that this hunky dude is named Johnny, and he's Patrick Swayze, obviously. Mm-hmm. Johnny Castle was originally supposed to be Italian before Patrick Swayze was cast, so this might account for his sort of like, ayo, accent in this movie.
it is a little from the block.
Yeah. A little bit. Also, I just realized such a double standard that he's telling the male Yale-y wait staff to like show the ladies a good time, but not the blue collar entertainment. He's like hands off. Robbie, one of the waiters, asks Johnny if he thinks he can keep it in his pants this summer. Johnny tells him to mind his business and then knocks some table settings on the floor as he walks away.
So petty. I love it.
I know. And like the balls on Robbie. Johnny could break this dude in half. It looks like a small, sick Victorian child talking to a tan building. Freaking Robbie. So a little later in the formal dining room, Baby and her family are sitting down to dinner and being waited on by none other than Robbie, the boy with rickets. After dinner, Max brings over his grandson, Neil, to introduce him to the family. He goes to the Cornell School of Hotel Management. Ooh.
Ever hear of it? It's in the Ivy League.
Yeah. Shannon, okay, how old do you think this guy is supposed to be? Because 0% of the actors in this movie who are supposed to be young adults and teens look like actual younger adults or teens. Yeah. It was really confusing watching this as a kid.
Yeah, no, Neil looks 35, but he's probably supposed to be like, I don't know, 22.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's currently in school, I don't know. he's I don't think he's supposed to be a man.
No.
He's a co-ed. He's a, yeah, you know, collegiate kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an 80s 22, which is a modern, mm-hmm, day 35. He has like a receding hairline and everything. In the ballroom, everyone is dancing to some sort of whitewashed live, mm-hmm, jazz. Is that what we would call it?
I guess. I mean, it's slow though.
Yeah, it's like 1950s easy listening. I don't know, yeah, what to call that besides jazz.
Yeah.
Baby and Neil are doing a box step, and she tells him that she's going to college to major in economics of underdeveloped countries. He tries to relate by saying that at the end of the summer, he's going to Mississippi with a couple of the bus boys. Neil is very proud of himself in this, yeah, moment.
So smug.
Yeah. The band leader does a little soft shoe tap and then is joined on stage by Max Kellerman, who does the least dancing I've ever seen. Nobody has ever done less while dancing. Like, yeah, the only thing less than this is just standing still.
It's true.
Yeah.
He moves one foot back and forth and does like he's like half-hearted jazz hands. And it kind of seems like if he did more, he'd have a heart attack though. So, mm-hmm, maybe he knows his limits.
Yeah. He's like, this is good. This is enough. In the crowd, Baby is snubbed by two professional ballroom dancing children who make her feel insecure. Oh, crap. And then the crowd parts, and Johnny and the merengue instructor from earlier, whose name is Penny, walk to the middle of the dance floor and start performing the mambo. They look frickin' amazing.
Yep.
Johnny is in a tux with a waist-length jacket, and Penny is in this stunning pink dress with a big flowy skirt. Oh, looks so good.
And Swayze has the best releve I've ever seen. His calves must be made of stone because,
yeah,
I mean, he's just like solid on his feet. Wow.
It's releves where you're like your heels lifted
on your,
right,
toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Penny is played by Cynthia Rhodes, and this is actually the second time that she and Patrick Swayze have worked together. They were also both in Toto's Rosanna music video. And listeners, if you want a real treat, go watch that video because it's a lot of like skirt twirling and mustache close-ups.
Mustache twirling and skirt close-ups.
That too, honestly. Neil excitedly and dorkily tries to dance with Baby, but she can't take her eyes off Johnny and Penny, and I don't blame her. Neil explains that they are there to entertain the guests and sell dance lessons. Kellerman catches Johnny and Penny's attention and makes a throat-slashing motion, and then they immediately stop dancing and pull strangers out of the crowd to start dancing with them. Neil asks Baby if she wants to help him with the game portion of the evening, and in true parent fashion, Baby's dad responds on her behalf and volunteers her. He's like, of course she'd like to help. I'm like, oh, that's such a parent move. Don't do that, parents. Cut to Baby on stage as the head portion of the Saw the Girl in Half magic trick. And when they pull the two halves apart, the clearly older man-aged magician asks Baby, was it good for you? Gross, dude. Don't do that.
Totes inappropriate.
Yeah, on stage in front of a bunch of people too. As a prize for being such a good sport, Baby is given a live chicken as she exits the stage. Baby is over this nonsense, and I am with her.
Yeah.
Outside, Baby wanders through the woods up a lantern-lit trail to the staff quarters of the camp. She sees the guy from earlier that she helped with the bags. His name is Billy, and he's struggling to carry 3 watermelons up like 600 stairs.
So many stairs.
Mm-hmm. And like uneven, rocky, stone.
And steep.
Uh-huh. With lots of turns and stuff. When he sees her, he says that she cannot be there. She offers to help him carry one of the watermelons, but when he makes fun of her for dancing with Neil, she's like, never mind, enjoy your slip disc. But then he relents and lets her help him.
Yeah, and these watermelons, by the way, are like the size and actual shape of a trio of 2-year-olds. Yeah. Like, imagine holding 3 2-year-olds in your arms, and that's what Neil's got going on, or Billy's got going on.
Yeah. And they're also like, he's also carrying them vertically, which I was thinking about this, and I was like, I feel like stacking them in a pyramid shape, like if you were carrying logs, would be the best way, or maybe 2 under one arm and 1 under another arm. Like, I don't know.
Anything's better than what he's got.
Yeah. So they burst through the door of this big lodge-looking place to see a bunch of people dancing to Do You Love Me. And, okay, this A-plus actor.
Yeah.
Either made it look like he was struggling to juggle these two watermelons or was actually struggling and then kept it, like, kept his crap together enough to not mess up this take. But he did a really good job.
I always wondered about that, too. If they told him, like, okay, bump open the door and then maybe accidentally drop your watermelons. Or if he really flubbed it. But I cannot believe he pulls it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it looks like one's going to hit the floor and he, like, catches it and writes it. And it's just like, geez. Yeah. Anyway, they walk in and people are indeed dirtily dancing. This scene is so fun. The costuming is great. It's lit with pink light. Everyone is grinding and dancing and having a good time. It looks great. Hmm. Baby is bewildered and asks Billy where they learned to dance like that. He says that probably they probably learned in basements back home, and if she wants to try it, they can. And she shakes her head no.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, nope. Baby guardedly makes her way through the crowd to the back of the room. Just then, who walks in but Johnny and Penny? Johnny is in his end of shift look, or like sweaty, must hair, no tie, shirt unbuttoned, sleeves rolled up. He looks great, and it's clear that he's the life of the party when he arrives. Everyone's like, Johnny! He swigs a beer and grinds his way to the middle of the dance floor where he and Penny go off dancing. And, okay, while I am baby in this situation, and this scene triggers some very real junior high fear of watching kids grind and freak at school dances when I had never even kissed a boy. This party also looks like a ripping good time, and I want to be there.
Yeah.
Looks so fun. Once again, Baby is completely enraptured by Penny and Johnny, while Billy explains that Johnny Castle is his cousin, and also tells Baby that even though Johnny and Penny look great together, they are not actually a couple. Then Love Man by Otis Redding comes on, and everybody rightly loses their minds because that's a great song. Johnny makes his way through the crowd by grinding on various women until he reaches Billy. He asks Billy what Baby is doing there. She responds with this line, sing it if you know it.
I carried a watermelon.
I carried a watermelon. Johnny looks pissed and heads back out onto the dance floor. When he dances his way to the end of the Soul Train line, he beckons Baby out onto the dance floor and gives her a dirty dancing lesson, showing her how to roll her hips in a circle and grind her crotch all over his leg. Okay.
Gross.
Now, this might be a good place to talk about their ages, because I have always had concerns.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jennifer Grey was 27 when she acted in this film, but how old do we think her character is supposed to be?
Probably 18, because I think she's getting ready to graduate.
Right.
Or she already did.
Okay, maybe. So I always assumed 17. She's supposed to be 19, which...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now, the part that I've always found so mystifying. Patrick Swayze is 35 here, but how old are we supposed to believe that Johnny Castle is?
Okay, I would say 25, because he was a dance instructor for a couple years back home, which I would assume is after high school, unless maybe he dropped out of high school. And then it seems like he's been working at Kellerman's for at least 2 or 3 years. So I'd put him around 25.
All right. You nailed it. He's supposed to be 25. Wow. I always assumed like 29 based on how old he looks, because he's 35.
Yeah. Well, he's a little leathery.
Yeah. So 19 and 25 is much better than what I assumed, which was 17 and 29. And he's also so much bigger than she is. She's tiny, so it makes it look like she's a teenager when they're dancing. So, okay, we can all rest assured this is legal. I know. Which is good, because he slings her arms around his neck and then they dance. And then at the end of the song, there's this perfect moment where he just like spins her away and walks off. And then she keeps dancing by herself in spite of herself, because she's so entranced by him. And it's so cute.
She's having such a good time. I love it. And she like sort of claps to herself when the song ends. It's adorable.
And then she like collects herself and is like, okay, okay. so good. All right. The next day, we are lakeside watching all the guests enjoying various activities. Baby and her sister and a bunch of ladies are trying on different wigs. I would love to do this.
Yes, please. Wig show, I'm there.
I know. I was thinking, like, I could totally picture me and Shannon being like, let's go try on wigs. Robbie Ricketts approaches Lisa and does a bad JFK impression, asking Lisa to go on a date. Penny, who's overseeing the wig station, watches them pensively. Johnny walks by and Baby makes eyes at him, but he doesn't notice and takes off. And then Baby approaches Penny and says this.
So you're really a Rockette. I think you're a wonderful dancer.
Yeah, well, my mother kicked me out when I was 16. I've been dancing ever since. It's the only thing I ever wanted to do anyway.
I envy you.
Oops. Yeah,
Penny has no response and walks away. Abandoning the wig station, by the way. That night in the Lakeside gazebo, Baby and her parents are watching Johnny give dance lessons to Vivian Pressman, a dynasty villain who can't stop pawing poor Johnny's face. My gosh. Yeah. While she rubs her cleavage and her diamonds all over Johnny, Max Kellerman explains to Baby's parents that she is a bungalow bunny, who is a woman who stays all week while her husband only comes up on weekends. Neil arrives and walks up to Johnny to throw his tiny weight around, asking him where Penny is. Johnny says she's taking a break. Then Neil takes Baby for a walk while her parents look on approvingly because he goes to hotel college. Over by the lake, Neil tries to impress Baby with this turd of a line.
I have to say it. I'm known as the catch of the county.
I'm sure you are.
But last week, I took a girl away from Jamie, the lifeguard. And he said to her, right in front of me, what does he have that I don't have? And she said, two hotels.
Bye. Just then, they look up and see Lisa and Robbie stomping out of the woods. Lisa is upset, and Robbie tells her to go crying to her parents. Neat. Neil and Baby go into the kitchen to find something to eat. While Neil is looking in the fridge, also, sorry, this is just my fantasy. being able to go into a hotel kitchen and be like, what do you want? Like, we can make anything. It's like, oh my gosh, pancakes.
Hotel waffle.
I know. Anyway, so while Neil is looking in the fridge, Baby looks over and sees Penny sitting on the floor between a couple of counters, crying and shivering in the dark. Baby says that she should probably go check on her sister and ushers Neil out. Baby runs back to the dance gazebo and tells Billy, who interrupts Johnny, who can be seen dancing with Eleanor Bernstein, the writer of the movie.
Oh, adorable.
I know, super fun cameo. As Billy, Johnny, and Baby make their way back to the kitchen, we find out what's really going on.
Why is she here?
I brought her in case Neil comes back.
Penny just doesn't think.
She wouldn't do anything stupid, would she?
What's wrong? What's the matter with her?
She's knocked up, Baby.
Billy.
What's he gonna do about it?
What's he gonna do about it? Oh, it's mine, right? Right away, you think it's mine.
But I thought
Okay, so in the kitchen, Johnny scoops up Penny and says that he won't let anything happen to her. Then in the staff quarters, I think it's maybe where the dance party was the night before, I don't know. They discuss Penny's options. Penny says it's hopeless. Baby says there's got to be a way to work it out. And then Penny delivers this freaking scorcher.
Baby? Is that your name? Well, you know what, Baby? You don't know shit about my problems.
I told her.
Jesus, Billy, now she's gonna run and tell her little management boyfriend and we all get fired. Why not skywrite a Penny got knocked up by Robbie the creep?
Robbie?
Look,
No, baby. One of the counselors knows a doctor, a real MD, just traveling to New Paltz for one day next week. We can get her an appointment, but it costs $250.
But if it's Robbie, there's no problem. I know he has the money. I'm sure if you tell him...
He knows. Go back to your playpen, baby.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, the next day, Baby is in the dining room wasting her time trying to reason with Robbie the creep. He says, some people count and some people don't, and hands her a worn copy of The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand because frickin' of course he does. Baby says he makes her sick, and if he ever goes near her or her sister again, she'll have him fired, and then pours a pitcher of water all over his crotch. Hero.
Awesome.
Yeah. Baby finds her parents on the putting green. She appeals to her dad's altruism by saying that he always says that if somebody's in trouble, you should find a way to help them, and then asks him for $200. She says she can't tell him what it's for, it's not for her, and it's not illegal. And that's good enough for him, so he kisses her on the forehead and says he'll have it for her by dinner. What?
That's what it's like when you're the favorite.
That's true. And my guess is that she has the relationship with her parents that I did, where she has built up credit with them.
Yes.
Like, they can trust her enough that if she does stuff like this every once in a while, they're like, okay.
Yeah. She's probably, like, the best kid.
Yeah. Back in the staff's dirty dancing shack that night, Baby wades through the crowd of bumpers and grinders in an outfit that I want right now. Bermuda length denim shorts, and then this sort of black and white striped muscle tee tank top.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
Oh, it's so cute. And she's probably wearing it with her white kids. My gosh, I would wear this immediately. She approaches Penny, who is also wearing a dress that I want. It's super cute. Mm-hmm. To give her the money. She asks Baby if she got it from Robbie. When Baby says, no, Johnny sarcastically says, it takes a real saint to ask mommy and daddy for money. But then when Penny says that she can't take the money, Johnny yells at her that she should take it. And like, which is it, Johnny? Are we snubbing trust fund money or not? How's about you keep your opinions to yourself?
Yeah. Hey, oh, you should take the money.
Yeah. It's like, are we yelling at her for taking the money or not taking the money? Billy tells Baby that Penny could only get an appointment for Thursday, but if she takes it, she'll miss their performance at the Sheldrake Hotel and blow their summer gig. When Baby asks if somebody can just fill in, Johnny has this response.
No, Miss Fix-It, somebody else can't fill in. Maria has to work all day, she can't learn the routines, and Jenna has to fill in for Penny. Everybody works here. What, do you want to do it? Want to take time out from Simon Says?
Not a bad idea.
It was a joke, Billy.
She can't move.
No, it's the dumbest idea I ever heard of.
I can't even do the merengue. See? Johnny, you're a strong partner. You can lead anybody.
But you heard her. She can't even do the merengue.
She can't do it. She cannot do it.
Baby squints and tries to shoot lasers out of her eyes at Johnny. And then smash cut to Johnny giving Baby dance lessons.
Yay.
Okay, and... not that I don't want this, because obviously I do, but I will point out that one of the excuses that he just rattled off was that one of the other dancers couldn't fill in for Penny because she wouldn't have time to learn the routine. Wouldn't it make more sense to teach the Mambo routine to somebody who already knows how to dance rather than teaching it to somebody from the ground up?
Yes, definitely it would.
Yeah. Okay. But sure, I don't know. I'm here for this training montage, so I will shut my practical mouth so we can all enjoy it.
Yes, shut your mouth.
So next, Wipeout plays over various shots of Johnny teaching Baby about posture and finding the count and not stepping on his toes. We get that classic shot of her dancing across the footbridge in her coral bodysuit, rolled jean shorts, and white Keds. This outfit has always bugged me because it's super cute. But it's also decidedly 80s fashion, not 60s. I'm almost positive Lycra was only used in underwear and bathing suits in the 60s. So it's one of a few times in this movie where like 80s culture starts bleeding into this 1960s environment. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Then Johnny is teaching her that the rhythm of the song is like a heartbeat. And now the montage is set to Hungry Eyes. Johnny teaches Baby about spaghetti arms while Penny assist instructs in a dance lesson threesome. At one point, Johnny taps out and sits on the floor sweatily and like watches Penny and Baby dancing sexily in fishnets. And I don't want to make this more than it is, but also I'm not going to ignore the sexual implications here.
What are you talking about? They're just dancing. Just dirty. Oh, I get it.
Also, I love this shot.
Yes.
Penny's in this red leotard with a wide metallic gold belt, and then Baby's in black briefs and a different black and white striped tank top. Mm-hmm. Love it. Looks so good.
Baby's rehearsal outfit here and like throughout all the different ones that she wears, I tried to replicate them in as many ways as possible in my high school dance classes, but I had like limited access to dance clothes and even more limited funds, so I never really pulled it off, but it's all I wanted was to look like that.
Totally. Well, there's so many of these movies in the 80s, and they're all wearing, like, all the dance looks, the dance rehearsal looks are awesome. They're all, like, leotards with fun colored, like, leggings or tights underneath, and then, like, a sweatshirt that's, like, slouched over your shoulder, and and leg warmers. Like, it all looks good. But all that stuff is so expensive in the 80s and now, so it's, like...
And we had, like, one dancewear center in my town, and... like catalog shopping for dance clothes didn't exist unless you were a studio, and it was like impossible to get that stuff.
Yeah. But like you watch Breakin' or like Electric Boogaloo and you see all the things they're wearing and you're like, yes, that's what I want to wear in a dance class. And you're like, oh no, that's a lot. I can't afford to wear three sets of leg warmers at one time. All right. So in the montage, we see Baby graduate from Keds to silver metallic high heels. We also get that famous shot where Johnny is trying to run his hand down Baby's arm and she keeps laughing because it tickles. So both Jennifer Grey's giggling and Patrick Swayze's annoyance were real reactions because she kept laughing and he thought it was unprofessional and wanted to get through the shot, and the director loved it and he decided to use it.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. You know, that was like one of those things at whatever, 3 a.m. where it was just like, can we just be done? All right. Montage over. Baby and Johnny are practicing and they're frustrated. She almost hurts his back. He won't show her turns or lifts. The show is in 2 days and she is ready to bail. Johnny suggests that they get out of there, so they head out into the oddly sunny rain to his classic black 57 Chevy. When he discovers that he's locked the keys in the inside, he grabs a post out of the ground and smashes in the window, and Baby thinks he's wild. They drive out to the woods. Lesson one is balance. So Johnny walks out onto a log that's laid across this beautiful rocky stream about 7 feet above the ground. He convinces Baby to join him, and then he and a stunt woman in a Jennifer Grey wig dance out across the log, and it's really cute. I love this scene.
It is. It's adorable. Their little mashed potato dancing and stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's also the first time that we kind of see them be like playful and kind to each other, so it's really cute. All right. Lesson two is lifts, so they head out into a field, but that's not working out so well, so they decide to get into the water. The lake where they filmed this was at the second filming location at Lake Lure in North Carolina. This was shot in October, and the day that they filmed it, it was 40 degrees.
Wow.
They opted not to do close-ups on the actors because their lips were blue.
That's crazy. But it works really well because the wide shot is beautiful with all the water and the trees in the distance. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like golden hour sunlight and it's just, it looks beautiful. But yeah, apparently all the crew was running around in like parkas and snow jackets and stuff. And these poor actors had to get into the lake. Oof. Johnny and Baby attempt to nail down the overhead lift. Much splashing and giggling and flirting ensues. And then, y'all, it's the night of the show! Penny and Baby are walking up to the dance studio, I think, when they see Baby's tiny old lady dance partner from the beginning of the movie. Her name is Mrs. Schumacher. She drops her purse, and so the girls run over to help her pick up all its spilled contents. So they note everything that's in her bag. In the locker room, Penny is fitting Baby into her beautiful coral-colored halter dress. Baby is nervous about the performance, but runs through all her dance lessons when Penny confides this.
Look, I just want you to know that I don't sleep around. Whatever Robbie might have told you. And I thought that he loved me. I thought it was something special. Anyway, I just want you to know that. So how does it look? I'm scared. I'm so scared, babe.
Don't worry. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Baby hugs her, and we can tell this is like a kind of moment where the kid has been accepted into the grown-ups group.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's being treated like she's on the same level as Penny. Baby catches Lisa and asks her to tell their parents that she's got a terrible headache and she's in bed and that they should check on her once. This plan fills me with anxiety. What if they check on her and she's not in bed? How is she going to explain that?
Why would she tell Lisa to tell her parents to check on her once?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she just say, tell them that you checked on me and that I was fine, I just need to sleep? So weird.
Yeah, because they're going to she's not going to be there. So what's she going to say? but who cares? Because now we're at the Sheldrake and Baby and Johnny are on stage about to unleash their mambo on the world.
Oh, gosh. Baby's hair and makeup styling here. This is her worst look of the movie. Yeah. It's her only bad look of the movie, but it's so bad. She just looks like a tarted up elderly woman. I hate it.
Yeah, I think it is very bad, but I think it's only effective to maybe age her up and maybe make her look not necessarily unrecognizable, but like she's not a child dancing at this thing. And so maybe they tried to mature her with it, but it's not great.
It's so much like weird contouring. I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah, and like pancake makeup and this huge like French twist situation. Baby is visibly nervous, but Johnny tells her to relax. It's a rough start, but then Baby holds her own and does a great job with only a couple small flubs. When it comes time for the lift, she chickens out at the last second and then tries to cover with this like dorky thumb dance. Johnny looks sort of confused, but also amused with her. And in an interview, Eleanor Bernstein said that she thinks this is the moment that Johnny falls in love with Baby.
Aww.
Is watching her like do this little dance.
Yeah.
They finish the routine successfully. And then as they're bowing, Baby notices the Schumachers, the older couple in the crowd, and hopes that they don't recognize her as she exits the stage. Bum, bum, ba. All right, for the last time this season, take us home, Shannon!
All right. While Johnny's driving them back to Kellerman's, Baby's getting changed in the back seat of Johnny's 57 Chevrolet Bel Air. It is very roomy inside, and I remember thinking about that as a kid, probably because everyone I knew had, like, tiny cars, like hatchbacks and two doors and stuff. Anyway, Baby's getting changed in her studio apartment in the back of Johnny's car, and Johnny compliments all the hard work that Baby put into getting ready for the show, but he can't keep his eyes off the rearview mirror as she's getting dressed. Once she has her peasant blouse and slacks back on, she climbs over the bench seat and plops down next to Johnny. Some Kind of Wonderful is playing on the radio, the breeze from the broken out back window gently blowing Baby's hair. Johnny parks the car at the staff's housing complex. As he opens the passenger door for Baby, Cousin Billy comes running up and in a panicked tone says, "Come on, it's Penny." So the three of them come into a crowded room. Penny is laying sweaty and writhing in pain on the bed. Mm. Billy says Penny made him promise not to call the hospital since they would just call the police. And all politics aside, I'm glad that we live in a society where a woman can get the medical care she needs without fear of being prosecuted for it.
Yeah, 100% word.
Penny is moaning on the bed. Johnny rushes to sit by her and hold her hands, and we get some rough exposition from Billy.
She wouldn't have done it if he got back.
You didn't call an ambulance?
She said the hospital would call the police. She made me promise. He didn't use no ether, nothing.
I thought you said he was at Real MD.
The guy had a dirty knife and a folding table. I could hear her screaming in the hallway, and I swear to God, Johnny, I tried to get in. I tried.
Yeah.
That is hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But before Billy can finish his nightmare retelling, Baby runs out of the cabin to get her father. She wakes up the doctor, and he reads her body language enough to know that his doctor skills are needed. He grabs his medical bag, and he and Baby run back up to the staff housing. When Baby and Dr. Hausman get to Penny's room, he tells everyone to leave, and then tenderly, if a little condescendingly, ministers to Penny. He kind of talks to her like she's a little girl, which bothers me a little bit, but I guess if I put it in the context of him having two daughters of his own and also probably being a family physician and treating lots of little kids, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, I do appreciate that he's so kind to her, knowing her situation, mm-hmm. because, like, because of his character and the time, he could have been really judgy and cold,
yeah.
but he's really gentle with her. And, like, also, have you ever known a dad or a grown man who is nice after being woken up in the middle of the night and dragged out into the dark in his pajamas to climb a million stairs and work for free? This man might be a saint.
Aw, this is why hashtag Orbach or go home exists. He's a treasure.
Yeah.
When Dr. Hausman asks who's, quote, responsible for this girl, Johnny steps up. But of course, what the good doctor meant was who got this girl pregnant and then hired a butcher to undo it. But Johnny takes the word responsible literally. He's a good guy. Dr. Hausman assumes Johnny's copping to the other thing, though, and takes a real dislike to Johnny. Off screen, Dr. H finishes fixing up Penny. And as he and Baby are leaving the housing quarters, we hear his real feelings on the matter.
Was that what my money paid for?
I'm sorry, I never meant to lie to you.
You're not the person I thought you were, baby. I'm not sure who you are, but I don't want you to have anything to do with those people again.
But can I just explain?
Nothing. You'd have nothing to do with any of them ever again. I won't tell your mother about this. Right now I'm going to bed. And take that stuff off your face before your mother sees you.
She still has her makeup on from the Sheldrake performance.
And sparkly earrings, so, like, definitely not a sick in bed with a headache look.
Oh, yeah, for sure, no. Still later that night, Johnny is in his cabin/room, shirtlessly listening to music. This room is so sad. I know he only lives here for the summer, but still, like, would it kill him to put a rug on the floor or at least have a bedspread? Squatters live better than this. It's,
I know,
really
but
sad.
Most, not most. Some, in my experience, dudes don't care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
just, I know,
like,
you're right.
I have a
but
sheet
it really
and mattress.
Just looks like he found an abandoned cabin in the woods and decided to just move in.
For sure.
With just his dance shoes. I don't know. It's weird.
And his wits.
There's a knock at the door. It's Baby, who says it's, quote, a great room, as Johnny cleans the dirty clothes off a metal deck chair for her to sit down. Baby apologizes for the way her dad treated Johnny, and Johnny admiringly says that her dad was great the way that he took care of Penny.
The way he saved her, I mean, I could never do anything like that. That was something. I mean, the reason people treat me like I'm nothing is because I'm nothing.
That's not true. You're everything.
You don't understand the way it is. I mean, for somebody like me, last month I'm eating juju bees to keep alive. This month women are stuffing diamonds in my pockets. I'm balancing on shit, and as quick as that, I could be down there again.
No, it's not the way it is. It doesn't have to be that way.
I've never known anybody like you. You look at the world, and you think you can make it better. Somebody's lost, you find them. Somebody's bleeding, and
yeah,
you...
Yeah, I go get my daddy. That's really brave, like you said.
That took a lot of guts to go to him. I mean, you are not scared of anything. I don't
know... Me? I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of what I saw. I'm scared of what I did, of who I am. And most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
Oh, my little 9-year-old heart. I can hardly take it.
I know.
The automatic record player, remember those? Drops a new platter on the turntable, and Solomon Burke's Cry to Me starts to play. Baby tells Johnny to dance with her, and then we see some real dirty dancing, if you know what I mean. Metaphorically, as well as literally. Get it? They have sex.
Oh!
This scene is played so well. It's such a slow burn. It takes them forever to even get to the kiss. And eventually, we leave them on the bed on the fade out of the scene.
Yeah, this scene was cut from the original theatrical version, but then added back in for the DVD release. And I'm glad I read that, because I thought I was crazy, because I never remember seeing this part when I was young. And I thought maybe I'd always just seen, like, a censored version somehow. I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad they added it back in, because it is so well done without being overt.
Yeah, I had no idea that it had been omitted, because the version that I had on VHS as a kid definitely had this scene in it. But mine might have been taped off of HBO by my grandma. She's the best. In the morning, Baby and her family are having a very tense breakfast when Neil comes in and asks them if they're all going to be in the talent show. Dr. Hausman moodily says they'll be leaving before the show, and Lisa throws a straight-up hissy fit because she was planning on singing in the show. Her dad says it was just an idea, they can stay after all, and then he has this sad exchange with his not-favorite daughter.
So, Lisa, what were you planning to sing?
I feel pretty. Or what do the simple folk do? Or I feel pretty? What do you think, Daddy?
Oh, he gets up to leave the table before she's finished answering his question. And Lisa desperately follows him while still talking. Oh,
he can,
so
like,
sad.
Barely muster interest for her.
Yeah. After breakfast, Baby goes to Penny's to check on her. Penny's doing much better after having another checkup from Dr. Hausman.
Yeah, Cynthia Rhodes was so beautiful in real life without makeup that they had to ugly her down with pancake face for this scene.
Oh,
I know.
I guess
they
that's
tried
a good
to just,
problem to have.
Yeah, they tried to just do it natural, like natural face, and they were like, no, you don't look sick enough.
Yeah. Johnny comes in to check on Penny as well, and Penny tells him that the doctor says she's going to be fine and that she can still have babies. Penny asks Baby and Johnny how the show went, and they exchange some awkward glances, which Penny clocks immediately. Baby excuses herself, and no sooner is she out the door when Penny jumps down Johnny's throat.
Fine,
Johnny,
right?
What are you doing?
Don't worry about Max. I'll tell him your grandmother died or something.
How many times do you tell me never get mixed up with him?
I know what I'm doing, Penny.
You listen to me. You gotta stop it now.
To be fair, she did just go through a horrifying end to a romantic tryst, so totally get where she's coming from here.
Yeah, maybe listen to her.
Yeah. Johnny comes out to the porch where Baby is waiting and tells her that he has to get going because he has a dance lesson with the Kramers. Baby looks wounded and completely in love and shouts, "Johnny!" in a voice so desperate and loaded with emotion that her voice actually cracks a little.
Johnny!
Johnny turns around and they exchange an adorable smile of knowing. Later that day, it's pouring rain and the family is cooped up in their bungalow. Lisa's complaining about the rain and not being able to find her beige iridescent lipstick. Gross. What a terrible choice. While Baby throws on a rain slicker and heads for the door. When Mom asks where she's going, she says to the lobby to play charades, and Lisa sarcastically says she's quite the little joiner. Her dad watches her go. Turns out, Baby went to see Johnny, and we join them post-coitus and very naked, cuddling in his downtown Beirut of a bedroom.
When I was young and I watched this with my mom, when they cut to Baby and Johnny in bed, my mom said, "That's not charades!" And that was one of the first times I realized my mom was funny, because I was, like, really little. And it still makes me laugh every time I see this part.
I love that. And I love your mom. Go away, COVID, so I can see Terry again. Miss you, Terry. Yeah.
Go away, COVID, so I can see my mom again.
Baby asks Johnny if he's, quote, had many women.
Gross.
And he hedges, acting a little embarrassed. Then he gets out of bed, and I swear that they recut the scene, because when I was a kid, I think you could totally see his butt, his naked butt, but maybe that was just puberty and wishful thinking.
Okay, so now I'm wondering if I remember this, because when you said that, I was like, do I remember that scene?
Yeah.
Or, is this like a Mandela effect thing? Like, can we pull the list of phrasing? Can we ask the listeners and see if they remember that?
Yes, I will, because you see the smallest things when you're little and you make a big deal out of it, so maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, or unless we're conflating it with another movie that's similar.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Could be. All right, we'll figure this out. We'll get to the bottom of it. We'll get to the bottom of it. Johnny gets defensive about his sex life in this clip.
You gotta understand what it's like, Baby. You come from the streets and suddenly you're up here and these women, they are throwing themselves at you and they smell so good and they really take care of themselves. I mean,
I never knew women could be like that, you know? And they're so rich, so goddamn rich, you think they must know about everything. And they're slipping the room keys in my hands 2 and 3 times a day, different women. And so here I think I'm scoring big, right? And for a while you think, hey, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't care about me, right?
That's all right, I understand. You were just using them, that's all.
No, that's not it.
That's the thing, baby. See, it wasn't like that.
They were using me.
2 and 3 times a day? All that and a full dance card? Yeah. Oh, to be young.
He should get tested. That's a lot.
Ew. Baby seems to understand him, or she just kisses him to stop him from revealing any more sad truths. They embrace, falling back onto the bed, and take a note, 80s teen movies, this is how you shoot a makeout scene. Mm-hmm. So tender and sweet. No one is ramming their tongue down anyone's throat or aggressively gnawing on each other's lips. Yeah. It's just real.
Yeah, it's not disturbing to watch.
Yeah. You don't wonder if it's consensual. Like, it's, yeah. So Johnny asks Baby what her real name is, and she says it's Frances for the first woman in the cabinet. Johnny says that's a real grown-up name.
Writer Eleanor was named after Eleanor Roosevelt.
Mm, also a real grown-up name. Mm-hmm. Later that night, back at the Hausman's bungalow, Baby and her grown-up name are awakened from sleep when a horny Lisa announces that she's decided to go all the way with Robbie. Yeah. Instead of grunting angrily at Lisa for waking her up like I would, Baby takes the bait and tells Lisa that Robbie isn't the kind of guy she should go all the way with. Lisa ignores Baby's advice and asks if Baby thinks the resort would let her and Robbie stay for free if they come back on their 10th wedding anniversary. So sad.
Oh, gosh.
So sad. Lisa is just, I don't know, everything.
A tragic character.
I don't understand, yeah. Really. Baby ignores Lisa's insane comment and says that Lisa should only be having sex with someone she really loves. Lisa grouches that Baby wouldn't care if she had sex with the entire army as long as she did it on the right side of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. She says all Baby cares about is that she's not Daddy's girl anymore.
Jeez.
I know.
Low blow, Lisa.
Well, it certainly doesn't seem like Baby's too concerned about that, as we join her dancing with Johnny, not a euphemism, in a bright white rehearsal space. Now that the important show is over, they're just having fun together, and we see a lot more of Baby's personality come out in my favorite scene of the movie.
1, 2, 3, cha-cha-cha. Hey, my frame, where's my pleasing arc? Spaghetti arms, would you give me some tension, please? You're invading my dance space. This is my dance space, that's yours. Let's cha-cha. Don't look down. Look right here.
So cute. Johnny's just trying to get down with Baby, and she's teasing him by dancing away, and we get that adorable lip sync scene to Love is Strange by Mickey and Sylvia.
Yeah, I also love her look in the scene with her white blouse knotted under her bust and the rolled up sleeves. Super cute.
She's perfection. Mm-hmm. Her curly hair, her peaches and cream complexion, every outfit fits her like a glove. It's perfect styling. Oh, they are interrupted by Buzzkill McGillicuddy, a.k.a. Neil the grandson. He's got a great idea. Instead of the merengue, why don't Johnny and his crew do this year's end of the season dance to the pachanga? Johnny takes this as an invitation to tell Neil all his great forward-thinking dance ideas, but Neil shuts him down. Johnny is not stoked, but when Neil basically threatens to fire him, Johnny gets super excited about the idea.
Sure, Neil. No problem. We'll end the season with the pachanga. Great idea.
Great idea, Neil. Baby hates to see Johnny get steamrolled by a little wimp like Neil and tries to talk Johnny into confronting Neil with all of his good ideas. Johnny says he could never fight the boss man because people like him are rich and mean, and Johnny needs this job lined up for next summer. If he doesn't have Kellerman's to come back to, he'll have to go to work for his uncle painting and plastering houses. Just then, Baby spots her dad coming out of a building with Lisa and Robbie. He has his arm slung over Robbie's shoulders, fatherly. Mm. Baby grabs Johnny and pushes him down to hide.
Fight harder, huh? I don't see you fighting so hard, baby. I don't see you running up to Daddy telling him I'm your guy.
I will. With my father, it's complicated. I will tell him.
I don't believe you, baby. I don't think that you ever had any intention of telling him. Ever.
And Patrick Swayze looks so sad and so beautiful here. I just want to run my hands through his hair and tell him it's all going to be okay. Oh, man. Later, Baby's looking for Johnny and knocks on Penny's door. Penny opens the door wide to reveal Johnny sitting on her bed. As Baby's trying to make up with Johnny, apologizing and kissing his shoulder, Robbie comes around the corner and sees them. He says he must have picked the wrong sister, but tells her not to worry about it since he went slumming too.
Wow.
Rude. And Johnny karate leaps off the porch onto Robbie, throwing him to the ground and kicking him in the ribs, goading Robbie to hit him back.
Roadhouse!
Yes. No kidding. Robbie swings and I think actually makes contact with Johnny's face, which is a miracle since he totally telegraphs the swing by like cocking his arm so far back.
Yeah. It's also a miracle that Johnny doesn't kill him since he's all muscle and Robbie is like outside for the first time since his bout with dropsy.
Yeah, I know. He could have not like floored him with one swing. So
yeah.
Robbie, go eat an orange or something. Jeez. Johnny throws Robbie onto the ground again and raises his fist to hit Robbie in the face, which probably would have killed him, then tells him to get out of here because he's not worth it. Breathing heavily and upset, Johnny walks over and embraces Baby in a really sweet way. She's up on the porch still, so he kind of puts his head on her chest and wraps his arms all the way around her waist.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the talent show rehearsal where Lisa is singing and dancing terribly. So we know who got the talent in the family.
Oh my gosh, does this actress do a good job of singing and dancing badly? It's harder to do than it looks to like have it successfully sound like you're just kind of tone deaf.
A little just off the note, just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Little flat, little. Yeah. She's so good.
Yikes. Baby is painting scenery and there's a table full of men playing cards, an older woman who is trying very hard to look young, who we also saw dancing with Johnny earlier in the movie, tells her husband Mo Pressman to win big as she walks by the card game. She walks up to Johnny and we get this.
This is our last night together, lover. I've got something worked out for us.
Ew.
Yucky.
Johnny walks over to the card players and hands Mo a pirate hat, telling him that the rehearsal for the pirate number is next. Mo tells Johnny to give his wife a couple extra dance lessons and smashes a wad of money into Johnny's palm. Johnny tells Mo he's booked up, so he can't take the money. Mrs. Pressman looks very put out, but Baby looks on proudly and smiles to herself. Young girls do like a good project, I guess, and Johnny's got mad potential. Lisa's still singing.
And you can walk all you wanna, you can walk while I walk away, 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 away.
Oh, why did she go so high?
I love it. So good.
After Lisa finishes her rehearsal, she tells Baby she's decided tonight's the night with Robbie. Then we see Lisa in her prettiest frock knocking on Robbie's door, which has a very obvious white towel hanging on the doorknob. When he doesn't answer the door, Lisa pushes it open to discover Robbie in bed underneath Mrs. Pressman. Mm. Lisa is totally grossed out. Her face hair is really funny. It's like she just smelled a skunk that had been hanging out in a dump.
Yeah. But yeah, the song in the scene is so like Pointer Sisters 80s.
Yeah.
It's weird among the 1960s soundtrack.
Yeah. This song and Overload from earlier are weird additions to the soundtrack.
Yeah. Which one's Overload?
The one where it's raining and they're trying to get to the car and he breaks out the car window.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. It sounds like a Huey Lewis weird ripoff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of takes you out of it for a minute, but.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are post-coitus again with Baby and Johnny. Baby is looking straight up like a Renaissance painting here. So beautiful. The yeah. camera angle and everything. It's
her
gorgeous.
Flawless skin. Yes. Everything. Yeah.
Yes. Johnny's telling her that he dreamed Dr. Houseman put his arm around him like he did with Robbie. We crossfade to Baby leaving Johnny's bungalow in a wide shot, kind of far away. They stop on the stairs and Johnny leans down to kiss her. Just then, a waxy, disheveled-looking Mrs. Pressman walks out of Robbie's bungalow, looks up the hill, and sees the secret lovers having their parting kiss. She is mad. At breakfast, Max and Neil are telling the Housemans that they suspect one of their staff is a thief. Neil may be a turd, but he tells a great anecdote.
Mo Pressman's wallet was stolen when he was playing pinochle last night. It was in his jacket, hanging on the back of his chair. He had it at 1:30, and when he checked again at 4:15, it was missing.
Shut up, Neil.
Oh, gosh, seriously. It was missing.
Turns out Mrs. Pressman named Johnny as the possible suspect out of what I can only assume is sheer retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
Max says when he asked Johnny for an alibi, Johnny says he was alone in his room reading. Neil laughs and says there are no books in Johnny's room. Then he says there have been 3 other wallets stolen, as well as thefts at the Sheldrake. Baby says she knows Johnny didn't do it and implores her daddy to trust her. He says he can't, so Baby turns to Max and says, it could have been anyone. Maybe it was that cute little Schumacher couple. Baby did see them with a couple of wallets, and they were at the Sheldrake. Max scoffs and says they have an eyewitness and Johnny has no alibi. Then he tells Neil he's going to get a lesson in firing an employee. Baby panics.
No, Mr. Kelman, wait a minute. I know Johnny didn't take the wallet. I know he didn't take it because he was in his room all night. And the reason I know is because I was with him.
Oh, crap. Oh, no.
She looks at her dad apologetically. Oh, then Dr. Houseman is sitting on a deck, looking out at the lake. Summer is ending. Their stay at the resort is coming to an end. The lake is foggy and the loons are calling as Baby approaches her dad. She tries to apologize and explain herself. She tells him that he lied to her when he told her that everyone deserved a fair break, because really he only meant everyone that was like himself. She says she's a part of the family and he can't keep giving her the silent treatment. And that if he loves her, he has to love all the things about her. Which, not true. I do not agree with this statement. You do not have to love all things about all people that you love. You don't have to.
That's true.
Then Baby breaks down.
And I love you. And I'm sorry I let you down. I'm so sorry, Daddy. But you let me down, too.
Throughout her speech, Dr. Houseman looks disinterested and doesn't really engage with her, but as soon as she starts to cry, you can see his eyes well up with tears.
Mm-hmm.
As she turns to leave, he turns in his chair as if he wants to stop her from going, but he stays agonizingly silent. Oh, Jerry Orbach, I love you!
I know. This scene is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's well written. It's well acted. Both their crying looks so real.
Yes.
Like, the whole thing is so heartbreaking.
It is. Gosh. Then Baby's asleep in some sort of props room, storage room. I don't know. What is this place? When Johnny comes in to tell her the good news.
Is this the same place that they were rehearsing? Is this the dance hall? What is this place? These staff quarters exist outside of time.
They do. They really do. It's like the Hogwarts Room of Requirement. Like, it's whatever you need it to be.
That's exactly right.
Well, the good news is this. They fingerprinted the Schumacher's water glasses and found out that they were wanted in Arizona and Florida, which are both big retirement spots. So, hey, Schumachers. Ever hear of not shitting where you eat? Guess not. Baby jumps up to throw her arms around Johnny in celebration, but he stops her, saying that he's out. They fired him anyway. Baby knows it's because of her. Johnny says that if he leaves quietly, he'll still get his summer bonus.
So I did it for nothing. I hurt my family. You lost your job. Anyway, I did it for nothing.
No, no, not for nothing, baby. Nobody has ever done anything like that for me before.
You were right, Johnny. You can't win no matter what you do.
You listen to me. I don't want to hear that from you. You can.
I used to think so.
Baby's growing up a lot this summer.
When you just hear that clip isolated, the acting is not great. It's a good scene. It's good. I like them both. It's just like, if you just played that, you'd be like, what is this?
Like an 11th grade production of Oklahoma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But before Johnny, quote, leaves quietly, he puts on his best greaser uniform, sunglasses included, to go say goodbye to Dr. Houseman. He tries to tell the doctor what a good person Baby is and that she's that way because she's like her dad. This does not go over well. Johnny's overtures are completely rejected by Dr. Houseman, who is insulted that Johnny would presume to know anything about him.
This is such a dad move.
I know. Like, yeah. I've already made my assessments. All Dr. Houseman sees is a guy who got his girlfriend pregnant and then almost killed her by making her get an illegal abortion. Johnny's not surprised and says he guesses that's what Dr. Houseman would see. Baby's waiting by Johnny's car as he's getting ready to leave. She's Like the Wind starts playing as they have cute banter and share a sad laugh together.
She doesn't know what she's done. Does it need to be said that this is Patrick Swayze singing this song? I thought I should say it here because I was dumbfounded the first time I learned this information.
Mm-hmm. I knew that at some point, but I had totally forgotten it. So thank you for the reminder. We do need to know this because it's important.
Like, I think this is his only song, right? Did he sing anything else?
No, him and Don Johnson with the One Hit Wonders.
Wow.
In the 80s.
Man.
And Eddie Murphy, maybe too?
Yeah, I was going to say, this. We should maybe make a Spotify playlist.
Oh, man.
I'm writing this down. Okay, continue. Okay.
Baby buries her head in Johnny's chest, and he says he'll never be sorry. Neither will she. They kiss, and Johnny drives away aggressively. Mm-hmm. He's like kicking up so much gravel as
she's
he goes.
Jeez.
A despondent Baby is sitting on the edge of the bed trying to get dressed for the talent show. Lisa sits down next to her and, in an attempt to comfort her, offers to do Baby's hair, then pulls her in for a sisterly hug. That night, as the talent show closes, the staff are all on stage singing a super sappy song about how great their resort is. To this day, this song will just randomly pop into my head.
Yeah, same. And then also,
it's crazy.
Like, every time I hear this clip, all I can hear is that one tone-deaf child. Like, there's one child just singing completely off key.
I thought that was Lisa.
I don't think, because it's higher.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, if you listen back to it, you can hear definitely a kid above everyone else. It's the one kid on stage. Ugh.
So as they sing, the camera pans to the houseman's table where Baby's dad is drinking. Baby's sitting backed up into a dark corner, and her mom, who is basically a non-entity this whole movie, is oblivious to the tension. We also see all the dance people lingering and looking bored in the back of the room. I assume it's because the dancers would usually close the show, but since Johnny's gone, they sort of have no purpose now.
Yeah, or I assume because their staff, it's like mandatory that they attend this dork fest for rich squares.
Yeah. Robbie passes the houseman's table and Dr. H pulls him aside, hands him a check, and wishes him good luck in medical school. Then Robbie puts his whole entire foot into his mouth by thanking Dr. Houseman for his help with, quote, the penny situation. Dr. H promptly snatches back the check and walks away. Then we get a heaping helping of schmaltz in the form of Max talking to his orchestra leader Tito about the good old days of pasteurization and war years and how it all seems to be slipping away. And then we see Johnny come in through the back door, Greeted excitedly by his dancers, he makes a beeline for the Hausman's table and says...
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh, yes! Chris!
Johnny! Johnny!
Pow, pow, pow!
Johnny takes baby by the hand and leads her to the stage. He walks up to the mic and says, this year somebody told him he couldn't do the last dance of the season. He always does the last dance of the season. So this year he's going to do his kind of dancing with a great partner. Someone who taught him about the kind of person that he wants to be, Miss Frances Hausman.
Oh!
Okay, at the sound of his daughter's full name, Dr. Hausman like loses his S, jumps up from the table, but then his wife has had enough and is all, sit down, Jake. On the stage, baby stands alone in the dark as the time of my life starts to play. Johnny takes off his leather jacket in the wings and then walks out to join baby as a spotlight finds them both. As the movie title suggests, they indeed begin dancing dirtily to whoops and whistles from the crowd. If you've never seen this movie, there's no way I can do justice to this scene in words. You just have to see it. It's just joyful. It's effortless dancing. It just makes you smile. And even though it's, quote, dirty dancing, it's also very wholesome. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Yeah. And much like the last scene in Footloose, it's just satisfying on every single level. It delivers in every way you want it to. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. All the emotion is there. The heart, the talent, the filmography, it's all. Yeah.
Kenny Ortega is there.
So after some stage dancing with baby, Johnny karate jumps off the stage, which actually Swayze said that he did so many times that he just about ruined his knees. And it's easy to see why, because he gets serious air on the jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He like, I think they used his last take. And on the last take, I think he said like, this is the last one I'm going to do. And he kind of went all out. And I think that's when he almost like probably tore his meniscus off. He dances his way to the back of the room and beckons his dance crew to follow him. They dance forward with excellent Kenny Ortega choreography.
Yeah, I always felt bad that baby just has to like stand alone awkwardly on the stage while Johnny dances down the aisle.
Yeah.
But she does a really good job of looking like she's just enjoying watching him dance. Like she doesn't make it weird.
No, she like shakes her dress around and smiles a lot. And she does that head toss laugh thing. So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the most triumphant ending, baby runs to Johnny and they do the lift.
They did it, you guys. They effing did it. Oh my gosh. Also, the Making a Meal Award goes to this extra in the background who is super stoked that they finally nailed this lift. He's just below her skirt at the side of the room. And like, once you see him, you can't unsee him.
Yeah. Okay. I went back and I saw him. It's amazing. He looks legitimately exhilarated. Uh-huh. Like he's pumping his fists and everything.
He's like, yeah.
She did it. They were probably there for like freaking 5 hours trying to shoot that scene.
That's true, because I was thinking, like, why would he be excited about this? Like, why would he know the struggle? And maybe it's just that extra being like, it's 4 a.m, we get to go home.
So he and the entire crowd erupt in cheers, and then everyone pairs off and starts dancing, including two older ladies who throw their mink stoles to the floor. It's really cute. We see Penny talking to Dr. Hausman, and as Johnny and baby go to leave the room, Dr. Hausman stops them and says this.
I know you weren't the one who got Penny in trouble.
Yeah.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Okay. Even though this kind of reminds me of Michael Scott's non-apology, when he says, it takes a big man to admit his mistakes, and I am that big man. I still think this is a sweet moment. I'm a sucker for an emotional dad-daughter moment, and when baby hugs her dad's neck in gratitude, it gets me every damn time.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. But I know what you mean when he's like, when I am wrong, I admit I'm wrong, and it's just like...
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But,
okay, so say it. Yeah. So then we get to watch a lot more joyful dancing, and it's lovely.
It is. but also people are dirty dancing, which means they're like bumping and grinding in front of children and old people yeah. and baby's conservative dad. So it's a little weird, but yes, overall super joyful.
Yeah. Oh, listeners, man. We have really had the time of our life making these episodes for you. Thank you for coming along for the ride that is 80s teen movies.
Oh my gosh, we did it. It's Dirty Dancing. So good. This really has been so much fun. Yeah. Hit us up on Instagram at So5MinutesAgoPod and let us know which movies you'd like us to hear us or like us to hear. Like to hear us talk about in the future. Because like I said, there are so many that we like
so many
didn't do. And we have gotten requests for some people. So yeah. that really helps when people are like, I want you guys to do this movie. I want to like yeah. just one of the guys has been requested a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're sort of looking line. For a we're looking for a direction for a season two. So
yeah. Yes. But thank you so much for joining us for season one. Oh my goodness. Stay tuned on our Instagram because if when we do a season two, we will announce mm-hmm. it there. Yeah. In the yeah. meantime, thank you so Thanks, much for guys. Joining us. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Join us each week for a new episode of So 5 Minutes Ago. Check out our Instagram at So5MinutesAgoPod with the number 5 to see visuals and clips from the show. You can also get in touch with us at So5MinutesAgoPod@gmail.com. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Special thanks to Dave Quiggle for creating our podcast music. Talk to you all next week.
Please, it's so 5 minutes ago.